Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. A new film takes a look at the death penalty, the danger of junk science, and the power of human connection. It's called Trial by Fire, and it's based on the true story of Todd Willingham. In the early morning of December 23rd, 1991, Todd Willingham's Texas home erupted into flames. He escaped. His three small children did not. Investigators at the time determined that the fire was arson, and Todd was convicted of the murders of his children and sentenced to death row. He maintained his innocence until the day he died by lethal injection. As the film points out, Todd may have been the victim of a wrongful conviction. You see, while he was incarcerated, he was befriended by a school teacher and a writer named Elizabeth Gilbert. The two became acquainted through letters and eventually visits to the prison. Gilbert began re-examining Todd's trial by poring over court documents and visiting witnesses, and she uncovered compelling evidence that Todd, at the very least, didn't receive a fair trial, and by the worst, was actually innocent. Trial by Fire was directed by Oscar winner Ed Zwick and starring Academy Award nominee Laura Dern as Elizabeth Gilbert. Trial by Fire forces audiences to reckon with the consequences of a fatal wrongful conviction. Let's take a listen.
Cameron Todd Willingham, you are guilty of capital murder. By order of the state of Texas, you are sentenced to death.
You're my first visitor in a long time.
How long has it been?
8 years. Prisoners talk about doing time. On the road, there is no time. The clock stopped moving the minute we were sentenced.
How about you tell me what happened?
Any man can't save his own kids. Don't deserve to live. But I did not kill my own children, Elizabeth. I love them more than I love life itself.
I found myself talking to a vulnerable, sensitive man. I believe the state of Texas is about to kill an innocent man. You failed to challenge witnesses that changed their story.
He had the motive. He had the means. That boy is a monster, and he will die.
His lawyer decided Todd was guilty from the get-go. He failed to find a single scientific expert.
Doesn't mean he's innocent.
Don't let your emotions get the better of you.
My emotions? What? Because I'm a woman? Great. I'm going to go finish your job for you.
Trial by Fire opens Friday, May 17th. Director Ed Zwick, star Laura Dern, and Elizabeth Gilbert are in studio. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thanks for having
us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Ed, when did you first hear about Todd Willingham's case?
I read David Grand's article in The New Yorker.
Yeah, it was great.
10 years ago, and it was one of the most extraordinary pieces of journalism that I had ever read. But its subject was so compelling as to suggest that we had to make a movie of it.
When you thought about sitting down and making the movie, Did it immediately come to mind that you would do sort of the TikTok version of it? I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but that you would take us through it slowly? Because in the beginning of the movie, for the first half, you know, we're not really sure about Todd.
Yeah.
Well, even though people know the story, you're not really sure if Todd's innocent or guilty.
Well, that was deliberate. We thought that to have the audience condemn him, as did the jury in Corsicana, in an unfair trial and in a rush to judgment, that would make them complicit. And that therefore their experience of the movie as would be like Elizabeth's, mm-hmm. as she discovered the differences, they would realize that in fact they were as responsible as anyone else.
Elizabeth, when you first heard about Todd's case, were you like most folks and thought, oh gosh, this guy must be horrible?
I actually knew nothing about the case when he wrote to me and when I went for my first visit, he told me about the case. And it was a couple weeks later that, maybe about a month later, when I went up to Austin and I read the trial transcripts. And him telling me about the crime was pretty horrifying. But I went in with the assumption that this is a guilty person who's going to claim he's innocent. So I was kind of prepared for that. Although I wasn't prepared for how genuinely honest he appeared to me and just convinced me how much he cared about his children. So that was a little destabilizing.
So you were a busy working mom, two kids. What initially made you want to get involved with a writing program? And then what made you actually take it from the page to taking your body up to see this man?
Well, I'm a playwright, and I was between projects. And as a writer, I was looking for something to inspire or intrigue me. And I saw a flyer for a protest on the death penalty, which I've been opposed to from the get-go, as they say in Texas. But so I just kind of went up there with like, oh, this will be interesting. And what's this about? And then I was struck with this bus full of grandmothers and mothers and children who had people and family on death row and these young college activists. And I was like, gosh, this is big. And then we got to Philadelphia and the protest was huge. It was about Mumia Abdul-Jabbar or Jamal. And I got inspired. And on the way back, they asked for volunteers to write, and I raised my hand, sure, thinking I would be this good person and not knowing what would follow.
Laura, once you were on board and you read the script, what kind of research did you do, and what questions did you have for Elizabeth?
Well, I had so many questions, and inevitably, it's not only such a personal story, but it is filled with such trauma and heartbreak. And, you know, it's a delicate balance to not want to invade Liz's privacy or not know how much she might want to share or choose to share. And she was so profoundly generous and available and offered the letters that went back and forth between she and Todd, for myself and Jack O'Connell, who plays Todd, to read and invest in. And I think the thing that moves me the most about Elizabeth is that it's seemingly... it should be easy for any of us to take 10 minutes to, as Liz just said, you know, want to be a good person. But most of us then get distracted by the next social media story that hits us, and we get flooded with thinking we can't make a difference. And Liz has made such a profound difference, if I may be so bold, obviously the impact within her own life and her own heart, within his, with his family, with all of us who get to tell their story, and has affected change in the criminal justice system by helping spearhead the reopening of this case and learning about injustice and learning about how many innocent people are sitting right now awaiting death in this country is potentially terrifying. But for the 370 plus who've been exonerated since DNA evidence was used, it's, you know, if we're going to listen to Justice Scalia or Governor Perry's intent to believe we should never kill an innocent person, then it seems like a pretty easy fix to make sure that that can never happen by abolishing the death penalty.
Ed, I want to ask you a filmmaking question. One of the most important things in the movie for me as a viewer was the relationship between Todd and Elizabeth and sort of that chemistry. It all takes place with a piece of glass in between the two of them and on the phone. So I'm curious about your direction and the choices that you and Laura made and Jack so that we really feel like it's an intimate relationship.
Well, I first of all, knew that both these actors would be extraordinarily prepared about their own characters, that the research they'd done. I don't think it's necessarily manipulative to say that I deliberately worked with them separately and kept them apart for a good period of time, that Jack's scenes about his home life and about the incarceration and the fire were shot, and many of Laura's scenes were shot. And I wanted that their scenes to be shot in chronology, and that so that there would be the discovery and that they would bring to it a certain amount of that tentativeness and awkwardness that would then inevitably involve, because I know Laura and I know how empathic she is, and I knew that inevitably that connection was going to happen. And in fact, it was as much about trying to slow it down and let it flower. And what I didn't know really is how remarkable Jack would respond, that he too would have his own hesitation, but also an attempt to both charm and to flirt and to do something that was his go-to default
as moves
and that he didn't work, and how that would then peel back another layer, and then this whole relationship would then become more rounded as it went on.
Or in the words of Jack O'Connell, having been doing press together the last few days, I thought I was waxing poetic about the engagement of exploring and finding someone's heart through this kind of intimacy. And when I finished and they turned to Jack to answer this same question, he said, well, with his accent, he's English, and he said, well, it wasn't glass, it was plastic, so that made it very different. So maybe it was the plastic.
Oh, that's interesting that I didn't realize he's a British accent. Did you work with accent coaches?
Coaches? Jack worked with a wonderful man named Tim Monick, who—
A genius.
I had first worked with Tim when Leonardo DiCaprio and I did Blood Diamond, and that South African accent that he does was extraordinary. And Tim finds a person, not just any accent, but the specific person whose attitude, in fact, reflects the character. And they start there, and they break it down into this remarkable system of learning.
And helps you immerse into music of the moment, or, you know, matches or football games or whatever it is with people who would have the same dialect. He's taped so many millions of people, I think, over his career, and found such incredible gifts. I've worked with him as well. Didn't on this film specifically, but my family's from the South. So, but Jack did an amazing job.
We're talking about the film Trial by Fire. It opens Friday, May 17th. Ed Zwick, Laura Dern, Elizabeth Gilbert are our guests this hour. So, Elizabeth, as you started to investigate all of the court documents and you started talking to witnesses, some of whom were sketchy, this might even be a nice way to put it, what was the most egregious thing you saw?
I think the thing that offended me the most, or disturbed me the most, perhaps, was his defense attorney. A friend and I went up to Corsicana, and she's a retired journalist, a reporter, and so she basically put an article or an ad in the paper saying, we're interested in interviewing people about this terrible fire. So all these people met us in the cafe at first, and we saw this discord in the community of this, oh, this Todd's this terrible person, and very few thinking he was a good person. But when it came to the defense attorney, I thought I would get this, I don't know, a deeper, more profound understanding. And as I'm questioning him, he says to me, if he ever gets out, you're really going to be in danger. And I was taken back thinking, well, okay, he thinks I'm one of these women that's going to go to prison and fall in love with someone. And on the other hand, he's the defense attorney. So if this is the defense attorney, then what hope did Todd have, you know? So I think that disturbed me the most.
You also just told me a remarkable story about the snitch.
Yes, I did interview Johnny Webb, and I came away thinking, oh, this man is just not balanced, you know, the prison was affecting him or whatever. But I found out recently, there was a man who had recently out of law school. His name is Bryce Benjet, and he had been volunteering in Houston helping people on death row. And he is now with the Innocence Project and a lot more experienced. And he told me, Liz, Johnny Webb contacted the FBI 3 days after he was taken from his cell and told what to say. Wow. And so they thought, well, maybe that's interesting, let's pursue it. And they did get the information from the FBI, and in fact, that did happen. So I always knew in my heart that Johnny Webb was very unreliable. And then to hear that after the fact was very, very depressing.
Liz, was there something that you thought, you know, this is a non-negotiable that needs to be in this film, that you really felt needed to be expressed, couldn't be left out, had to be just right?
Well, there was, you know, they were making the film about the writing and the article. So there was a lot that was left out. But Laura was amazing in calling me and talking to me and asking me specific questions. But for me, there was in the original script a scene. Todd was very, very honest about he was not a good husband and had an affair. But they had a scene where he was, the top of the movie was him having this affair in the house where the children were, and that did not ring true to me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, no, I don't think that would have ever happened. Todd was so frank and honest; he would have told me this, and I had actually gone and spoken to the woman he'd had an affair with. So that didn't ring true to me. But I thought everything else was amazing, how they captured the relationship. You talk about that separation. When Todd and I were visiting, it's a two-hour visit, and it was as if this glass disappeared and the people around us disappeared, and we were in a cafe and we were laughing and enjoying ourselves, and she really captured that in the mm-hmm. movie. That wasn't in the beginning. You know, it was like down the road. And that sense of all of the business took place, you know, like my discoveries were in letters. Because you can't take anything in death row. You can't take notes. You can't take a pencil. Right. You can't take anything. So all our conversation there was like, what's going on with you? How's your family? Or I'd say, I sent you this book or I sent you this poem. And he would talk about his writing and his dreams and goals.
You know, one thing that I remember, actually, and I think this is from both Liz and from Laura, I think the initial script that Jeffrey and I worked on, we had presented Liz in some way that was just a little bit too earnest and a little bit too pious. And as we got to know Liz, and as Laura particularly got to know Liz, she said, you know, this is a kick-ass girl. You know, she's got some real humor and a very interesting perspective on life. And that gave us a license, and it gave Laura a license, I think, to invest some of herself. And to take that quality and to infuse it into the character, which really helped.
And also, Ed, though, that was such a joint effort, because what you saw in who Liz is mm-hmm. as the filmmaker to mm-hmm. tell a narrative that's reflective of all of us mm-hmm. is you saw that anyone,
yeah.
it needs to be anyone mm-hmm. that can have this moment where they offer kindness to a stranger, and it can impact such
yeah,
change.
Yeah, that's reflected when you're making the oatmeal. You're just somebody who makes oatmeal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And I think that was so important to capture. You know, yes, you're an artist and you're a brilliant woman, and you're also a person trying to get through your day who took a moment.
There was a trust, though, that developed, you know, both with Laura and also Alan Stewart. And then, of course, later on when, you know, we were actually meeting the people involved, you know. But I had written a play thinking that would bring attention to the case. And I just was lambasted in this horrifying review where he said, Elizabeth is doing more harm to the people on death row than helping them. So I had really pulled back in my honesty. I was very frank in this play I wrote. And so by the time David came around, and then by the time the film came around, I was kind of leery about how much do I want to tell. But after speaking, you know, like I say, with the producer and, you know, speaking with the actor, I just was like, I trust these people. They have my interest at heart. Their intention is my intention, which is to get the story out and let people know that Rick Perry took a man's life and it didn't have to happen. You know, he could have given him 30 days to look at the evidence. And rather than be a compassionate human being, he decided to be a political agent. And that, I think, is a story that needs to be remembered by many people.
The name of the film is Trial by Fire. It opens Friday, May 17th. Laura Dern, Liz Gilbert, and Ed Zwick, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having
us. Absolutely.
This is All of It on WNYC.